This is a four-volume set that was originally produced for primarily libraries, public libraries, theological libraries.
Welcome to another All About Jack C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty, the creator and producer of the show. Today's program is the first of a two-part episode exploring an often overlooked four-volume set of books entitled C.S. Lewis, Life, Works, and Legacy. This is not a brand new work, as it came out in 2007, but as I mentioned already, not many are familiar with it, and so I felt it would be helpful to discuss it today. With me to accomplish that is Dr. Bruce Edwards. He edited the series and has agreed to do his best to condense the 1,400 pages into about two 20 to 30 minute programs. Well, obviously he can't exactly do that, but hopefully what we do cover will pique your interest in learning how to get a copy or to make sure your local library has a set of these excellent books. Welcome back to All About Jack, Bruce.
Glad to be here.
Well, now, as already mentioned, this is no small set of books, and we'll explore the contents in a moment, but I wanted to kick off with this. How did the idea for the book come about, and why were you the editor?
Well, at the end of 2005, which was a big year for Lewis scholarship, lots and lots of books, particularly about Narnia, because the first movie had just come out, I got a contact, actually, from the publisher, Prager Publishing, and it was an acquisitions editor who inquired as to whether I would like to put together a two-volume book of essays about C.S. Lewis and related, you know, concerns and issues and topics. And, of course, my first response was, of course, you know, I would love to do this. I had edited a volume of essays back in 1988 that was successful, and it's been out of print a while, and a number of people over the years have said, oh, I wish that were still available. So this sounded to me like a way to refresh and make up to date some current scholarship on Lewis. But I said, you know, two volumes isn't really going to be enough, and I have in mind that we probably need at least four volumes. So two plus two. And from the acquisitions editor's point of view, that was a great idea. She indicated that it was often problematic for some academics to come up with enough material. And I said, oh, believe me, Suzanne, there are lots and lots of dedicated and not only scholarly, but scrupulously detailed in their approach to Lewis. And we will have the opposite problem of wanting to cut the volumes down. So I started out with a large canvas, and I was able to fill it up pretty quickly with very, very erudite and scholarly folks who love Lewis and all the things that are related to Lewis scholarship in 2015.
Well, now, as noted, the four-volume set totals over 1,400 pages, and each title is about the same length, 330 pages. Let's next have you tell the theme for each in the series and briefly elaborate on them.
Well, first I should say that I didn't start with the themes, and I didn't start with a predetermined set of topics, though it looks like a nice coalescing of both. I first started with a group of scholars that I wanted to write for this particular set. And I wanted to leave open as much as possible what they would write about and how long they would write. So in some ways, the topics, the individuals' division headings, it kind of came organically from the people who agreed to participate in the project. So I should say that I do like the way everything turned out, and I think there's balance, there is symmetry, and so on and so forth. But that's kind of the serendipity of the great people I got to work with in the project. So it's four volumes. We'll focus on the first two in this particular broadcast. The first is, you know, focused on the biography aspects of Lewis's life and works. And, you know, you'll be able to hear from the various contributions in that particular volume that they focus on C.S. Lewis and examine life. And so a lot of history, a lot of context, and it sets the stage for what I call the vocations of Lewis in the final three volumes. So, volume two focuses on, the Lewis that a majority of people know most about, the fantasist, the myth maker, and the poet. The third volume focuses on the apologist, the philosopher, and the theologian. And the fourth volume focuses on the scholar, the teacher, and the public intellectual. And all the essays kind of coalesce around those topic areas for each volume.
Well, let's go ahead and turn the spotlight on that first volume, C.S. Lewis, Life, Works, and Legacy. That's the overall series. The first volume is An Examined Life, as you mentioned. These chapters don't go directly, obviously, into the works Lewis wrote, but obviously explores his life. Isn't this just another biography? If not, why or how is it different?
It's easy to say that these days. Isn't that just another biography? I kind of like the way you put that because, of course, with the 50th anniversary of Lewis's death, we saw a large output of scholarly work on Lewis's biography and some fairly substantial biographical volumes were produced. But actually in 2007, there hadn't been a lot of attention paid to recent developments and the sort of scholarship that wasn't just paraphrase of Lewis's works, but actually was digging into the historical background of Lewis and issues like his time during the war, his schooling, all these things, which now were fairly prominent in Lewis studies. There actually wasn't a whole lot of activity on those areas. And so I felt at the time we were doing some innovative work and some work that was needed. And, one of the things I did before beginning the series editing it and inviting people to participate is that, I talked to a number of folks, people like Jerry Root, people like Chris Mitchell at the Wade Center at the time, and did a fairly quick but deep survey of what needs to be done, what other topic areas is not being covered by today's working scholars. And so, we didn't get to cover all of those things, and I wish that the volumes had even been more categorical and able to identify all of these areas. But I think four volumes is plenty, and this first volume, I think, sets the stage for later discussion of the works themselves. And then I wanted the last volume to kind of reflect upon Lewis's legacy, a legacy that continues to grow and change and expand.
Well, now, one of the things that is not often looked at, or at least not in too much detail, would be the 10th chapter of this first volume. It's entitled C.S. Lewis and Owen Barfield, Adversaries and Confidants. First, who and why the author of the piece, and then what are a few of the aspects of the relationship between Lewis and Barfield that justifies this chapter?
Well, let me start with the second part, William. Barfield and Lewis are often characterized as adversarial friends and, based primarily on the so-called Great War, which was an exchange, a long disputative discourse that, identified some of the primary topics, not only in philosophy, but in language and what I might call meta discourse, about language. That is, continues to be really informative about where Lewis's ideas came from, where he differed from his friend Barfield, but friends for virtually all of the rest of Lewis's life, and Garfield lives a long time, and so clearly there needed to be an essay that focused on the kind of discourse and logical disputation that they excelled in. And the author of this particular chapter is not necessarily well known in Lewis circles, but she is very well known in the study of Barfield. And she was actually suggested to me at the time as somebody who would be particularly adept at surveying this very important period of Lewis's life. And of course, she would be seeing it from Barfield's point of view as a Barfield scholar. And so Jane Hippolito willingly and gloriously came on board to write this essay. And I think she was very gratified to be asked. But she was sort of one of these serendipitous finds that was suggested to me when the subject of the volume came up. And as kind of word spread through both the Lewis community and what I might call the Tolkien community and the Williams community, the word got out, well, this multi-volume set is coming to bear. And Jane was one of the delightful finds of the project.
Now, go ahead and pick another chapter or two and share about who and why that author, and then some details about the material covered.
Well, of course, I want to note the contribution of Colin Duryea, who's now, if he wasn't already, a very well-known scholar of Lewis and Tolkien's friendship and author of a biography in the past year of the Inklings as a group, the Oxford Inklings. He's a prolific author. And I had met Colin during the centennial year of Lewis and got along with him tremendously. He at the time was an editor for InterVarsity Press in the UK. And I definitely wanted to include him in the series. And I wanted him to write about Lewis's military service. And so there's a chapter 4, Lewis and Military Service, War and Remembrance, covers that dangerous mission that Lewis was on, in which he, ended up getting the victim of friendly fire, but also managed to capture a whole battalion of German soldiers, he says, accidentally. And I think Colin does a terrific job of recounting those events. And of course, since 2007, there have been other treatments of Lewis's life and work in that era. But really, this is one of the first volumes that undertook an understanding of Lewis's wartime experiences. And so, I was proud as an editor to be able to shed some light on less documented and less chronicled aspects of that time. So I still think that's a very valuable essay, even though there have been other writers about that subject.
Well, of course, there could be more about the first volume we could talk about, but we'll let readers look into that themselves to see what else is there. And now the second volume is called C.S. Lewis, Life, Works, and Legacy, is the overall series. This, the subtitle is Lewis as Fantasist, Mythmaker, and Poet. While a moment's reflection makes it obvious why this grouping, go ahead and explain and briefly provide an overview of the content.
Well, Volume 2 wants to move the reader into Lewis's literary work and what is now kind of thought of as the key and most important works of Lewis's career. He obviously was a literary historian and critic, and that subject is treated later. He was a cultural critic, that's treated later. But the real foundation for most people's enjoyment of Lewis, the first entree into his world, is through his fantasy work. And so we wanted without further ado, move out of the biographical sections into the realm of his myth, fantasy, science fiction. So we had some very good writers. And also I should mention, obviously, his poetry. And, I had the great fortune of having the two leading scholars of Lewis's fantasy and poetry, David Downing and Don King, as contributors. And I appealed to them on this basis. Here is a chance for you, David, and you, Don, to kind of set the standard for scholarship on these areas in this encyclopedia. But it's not an encyclopedia in the sense that there are, topic areas and some rudimentary discussion of it. I wanted the key scholars in these areas to write, if I can put it this way, lavishly. I wanted them to feel free to become the signal essayists on the topics that that they agreed to pursue. And of course, that's indeed what has happened in the further work that both David and Don especially, Don is has just produced the critical volume of C.S. Lewis's poetry, but the first diving into some important new themes that Don was working on at the time, 2007, were found in volume two of this encyclopedia. So I'm very grateful for what they provided. David, of course, had written Planets in Peril, still, I think, the most valuable treatment of Lewis's cosmic trilogy, the Out of the Silent Planet volume, Perelander volume, and that Hideous Strength volume. And, they were terrific. And in this volume, David is able to significantly bring together some important themes in the three essays that he writes. And I should say that, what I really love about the volume is that it does give scholars room to explore their topics. And typically in these volumes, there are all sorts of constricting policies that a publisher is trying to put on it. And instead of somebody saying, well, we need to find fewer titles, we need to reduce the verbiage, we really had an expansive canvas, as I said earlier, for them to explore what they wanted to say. And it's not that they're loosely argued, but they are concretely and utterly complete in their coverage of these topics. So I'm very proud of their work, and proud to have been able to bring them together.
Well, even though you were just mentioning Dr. David Downey, let's go ahead and maybe address it a little bit more, and that is in terms of the logical choice for these three chapters. You already mentioned dealing with the Ransom Trilogy because of his excellent book, Planets in Peril. But let's go ahead and remind the listeners again the why, and then what are some of the insights he provides?
David obviously wrote what I think is the key book about the Cosmic Trilogy, Out of the Silent Planet, Perelandra, That Hideous Strength. And he's enabled in this particular set of essays in the encyclopedia to cover the ground of Lewis's interest in science fiction, how he felt there needed to be an answer to H.G. Wells, for instance, as in Out of the Silent Planet. Perelandra ends up being a tale that is important to Lewis in his defense of Milton as the epic poet of Paradise Lost, and David does a terrific job of pulling in these themes both from Lewis's life and scholarship, but also from the stories he wanted to tell. And then that Hideous Strength, I think many of us would say it's the most complex, most demanding of the three, and that's a result of the influence of Charles Williams on Lewis. And again, David does a fantastic job of bringing Lewis and Williams together in terms of how the Inklings performed the task of editing each other or demanding clarity from each other, and does a terrific job, as he does in the original volume, but in this follow-up set of essays, in showing us how Lewis was able to collaborate with and understand the sort of obligations of friendship to explain himself, and he's able to share with the Inklings so many insights. And I think David is the one who brings these to us. Of course, subsequently, Diana Glier is the one who really breaks open the topic of the Inklings and their day-to-day work and what they did on Tuesdays and Thursday nights together. So, Diana is reflected in our volume here, not in volume two, but in the later sections.
Now, listeners to All About Jack also will recognize Dr. Don King, and he gets three chapters to discuss his specialty, the poetry of C.S. Lewis. But go ahead and just briefly remind, why him, but more so, why three chapters, and what can the reader learn?
Certainly, Don is the superior scholar of Lewis's poetry, and his background knowledge of the details behind Lewis's poetic imagination, his desire to be a published poet, and that was his initial vocational desire, and Don has captured that well in our volume here, and also in the preliminary work that Lewis did with sort of his pre-conversion poetic imagination. And readers of our volume will find Lewis and his abilities are articulated in such a way as even people who are not sure they understand any poetry, let alone Lewis's, will really be given a privileged view of how these themes and metaphors in Lewis's life and poetic imagination work. And I think that's one of the great things about Don King's scholarship is it's very accessible. And even on things that we may not, as individual readers and lovers of Lewis, understand very well, Don, like David, is able to make them plain and, enables us to enjoy, I think, works that we might not even have tried to read before. And it's not that Lewis is ever in need of interpretation in secondary sources, but when you have a scholar like David or Don kind of standing beside you and giving you the insights that you would not be able to recover on your own, that's a terrific advantage.
Now, as before, when we just talked about from the first volume, let me have you pick something else to highlight from this second volume.
Well, we have, and also a prolific Lewis scholar of the last 10 years. We have Devin Brown, who also contributed a volume of biography to the Lewis secondary source canon 2 years ago. And he's writing here on the Screwtape Letters. And again, does a terrific job, nearly letter by letter, but certainly section by section in terms of, what are the themes of Screwtape? What motivated Lewis to do this sort of telling the truth upside down approach to Christian discipleship? And Devin does a terrific job of providing that insight into what Lewis was trying to accomplish. And, most of these works included in this volume, occur in a very important period of time in Lewis's life, from 1940 to 1947, where Lewis is doing a little bit of everything. He's preaching, there are important sermons, he's writing his some major scholarly works, like the Preface to Paradise Lost. And in this volume does a really terrific job. And I can say that because although I have a sort of opening chapter about Lewis's imagination, the heavy lifting of scholarship is really on the shoulders of people like Devin Brown, Don King, and others. And so I feel very comfortable saying these are some of the best essays that have ever been written on these topics. And anybody who attempts to surpass them has a lot to respond to, and I think that's one of the values of this particular set of essays. They do important, groundbreaking work, and others have to really respect the experience and sort of original work that they do here.
Well, there's lots more that we could talk about here in Volume 2, as well as with Volume 1. We encourage people to, you know, look into, follow the show notes in terms of links for more information, as well as ordering, although I'm going to have you address that here in a second. But let's go ahead and close out here to give us a preview of what listeners can look forward to in the next program discussing Volumes 3 and 4, and then tell us where the set of books can be obtained.
All right. The final two volumes, volumes 3 and 4, focus on Lewis as apologist, philosopher, and theologian. That's volume 3. And the fourth volume focuses on Lewis as scholar, teacher, and public intellectual. These are some areas that, you know, any biographer of Lewis is going to cover somewhat. But again, in these four volumes, we've gathered some very skilled philosopher, scholar, teachers themselves to write about and comment upon these facets of Lewis's career. And, you know, certainly the volume three, the volume about apologist, philosopher, and theologian covers some common ground, but also I think provides new insights. And we'll be able to identify some of those in the next session. As far as the availability of the volume, you know, what needs to be said is this is a four-volume set that was originally produced for primarily libraries, public libraries, theological libraries, and so it's priced as a premium set. And so I think the last time I looked on Amazon, which is where I would send anyone to look for these at this point, I think it's around $300 for the four volumes. And, you know, some of the early reviews were very positive about the contents, but, you know, nearly everybody comments on, wow, I would really love to have that set, but, you know, I don't have $300. Since then, it's also come out in an ebook format. I think that's slightly less. But since I didn't, you know, partake of any of the royalties, or have anything to do with how the publisher makes their money off of these high volume important scholarly works. You know, I'm just like the rest of the public. I don't know how much I could have afforded to get this volume if I was just looking for some superior encyclopedias. But as anybody knows who works in scholarly publishing or has ever written an academic book, the books are always priced for the publisher to recover their outlay, and the author or editor is often not the one to complain to about why this volume is so expensive. It's increasingly a challenge for academic presses to even continue in business, and I understand the problem. I don't have a solution for it. But certainly I would advise you, if you're listening to this and want to be able to follow up, see if your local library has these volumes, suggest that that they look into obtaining a set.
Well, now, regarding the ebook version, I believe only through the publisher can you get that at this point. I haven't seen it on Amazon directly, just as a side note.
Well, then you've got a later update than I do. And, when you've completed an editorial work of this kind, because as an editor, you know, I got to choose a couple of the essay topics that I wanted to write about. And, but you also are responsible for copy editing. You're responsible for following up with individual authors for their proofreading and copy editing. You're exhausted by the end of this. And, this project started in 2005. I was happy when the day came. I think it was in May of 2007 where UPS delivered the volumes on my doorstep. And I was just happy to be able to say, wow, it actually got done. And, I think a lot of, authors, feel that way about their work. And I think this particular project was certainly my most favorite to work on, but it was also the most exhausting and the one I was very happy to see completed. And so the economics of it, I think all of the authors and certainly as I would testify about my own work and even the proof editing and copying that, that my wife contributed to for free. I'm grateful for what everybody did because of their love of Lewis.
All right. Well, we encourage people to definitely look for that second program, depending on how you listen to this. If you listen as it's being released, the second program, it could be already available to go and listen to that. And Bruce, thanks for being with me discussing it in this part one of two programs.
Great. I look forward to the second.
I'm William O'Flaherty, and thank you for listening to this first of a two-part podcast on C.S. Lewis, Life, Works, and Legacy, a four-volume set edited by Dr. Bruce Edwards, who was my guest today. As he was just mentioning, please consider asking your local or school library to obtain a copy of this resource. It came out in 2007, but the insights and information about C.S. Lewis and his writings are as fresh as they were when the set was released almost 10 years ago. You can also check the show notes online for a direct link to Amazon where it's sold, where used copies are also available. And I also have a link to the publisher where you can purchase the ebook version. Show notes are found at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Also in the show notes, you'll find how to listen to other shows Dr. Edwards has been my guest and other authors that did chapters in these first two volumes that he mentioned. I also have a link to Dr. Edwards' website that he didn't get a chance to talk about. It's called the C.S. Lewis Review. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with others. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online at EssentialCSLewis.com or where the audio files are hosted at AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. There you can also find previous shows where I typically do author interviews. However, the last three programs have featured panel discussions that were recently held in Pennsylvania and North Carolina, where either Dr. Jerry Root and Dr. Diana Glyer were guests, or Colin Duryea, Dr. Crystal Hurd, Dr. Don King, and Carolyn Curtis were panelists. Also, I want to mention, in the fall of 2014, I did an 8-part series based on the book C.S. Lewis vs. the New Atheist with Peter S. Williams. Again, you can hear all those by going to either EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com.